So what happens to the shoeboxes? Well, I can tell you what happens to the shoeboxes. Because I've been there. A number of years ago, I went to Kosovo to try and determine the needs of the Christian community there. You've probably heard of Buy a Cow. That was one of the projects that we launched. But when I was in Kosovo, we were asked to go to a school. I was actually asked if I would give some sort of religious education lesson in this school. And I've done RE classes and assemblies for so many years now in various schools, and I turned up at the school to discover that it was primary 1 to 7 all together. That's how they taught them, Alison. You can imagine, as a teacher. Primary 1 to 7 all together in the one space, and it was a narrow hall. And I had to give a RE lesson in the morning, and I had to give an RE lesson in the afternoon. And after each morning educational experience and after the afternoon educational experience, we were privileged to be able to distribute the shoeboxes. So I've actually been there and said, this is for you, and this is for you, and this is for you. I can't remember how many we gave out, but I was told that it was 300 children in all between the morning and the afternoon. So let me assure you, shoeboxes are brilliant and very well received and very practical too. So thank you for doing that, and keep doing it. Keep doing it. Encourage you strongly to do that. Let's pray. Bless Christian churches wherever they meet, we ask. And we pray that as praise is going up to you, that your blessing will come in us. In Jesus' name, amen. We pray. It is really wonderful, God our Father, that you love us. Wonderful that you went to such great extent and such length to show your love towards us. We don't deserve it. Sometimes we forget about it. Sometimes we even ignore it. And sometimes we live as if we've never embraced your love. We pray, God our Father, that you would forgive us and clean us. Thank you that that's possible, that we can embrace your love through Christ. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, and we bless you for it. Help us, Lord, to come closer to that love. Help us, Lord, to know that love more. And help us, Lord, to live that love in our own lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I'm going to read from God's Word, the Bible, and I'm reading from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 through to verse 20. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 20. The words I read are read by a man. But let's remember, this is God's word. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength that he considered me faithful, appointing me to service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that's in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display his unlimited patience as an example of those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now, To the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Thanks be to God for his word. Let's pray. I was informed last night about Christine's situation, and I gave that a bit of thought. So I'm going to pray a prayer that I have read. Let's pray together. A prayer for those in hospice care. Father of all mercy and giver of all comfort, we pray for those in hospice, for those who suffer and weak and are in pain. Grant relief, grant them peace, grant to them all hope, and grant to them, we pray, a deep sense of your living presence. Living God, our Father, we pray for the families, for those who are in hospice care. And we've heard about Christine today, and we thank you that she has a place in hospice. And we pray, Father, you would be near to her today and near to her family. Give to her family and other families in that situation strength, patience, and grace. We thank you for dedicated caregivers, doctors, nurses. Grant to them passion and may compassion be their guide. Father God, we pray that you give them wisdom and a loving spirit in their work. Father God, God of love, help all patients today in hospice throughout our country and other countries. May they feel your abiding love. Help them to find hope, we pray. Father God, be near to them. May they know that they are precious, loved by you and by us. May they know that they are loved and valued by their families, by you, God our Father, and ourselves. Father God, we ask for peace, for grace. We ask for patience. In particular, we ask for that as we transition from this life to the next. Grant to them, Lord God, our Father, we pray, a peaceful, pain-free passing as they leave this world. May they rest in the comfort and safety of your own loving arms. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Bless them, we pray, God our Father, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was the pastor of Streatonvale Baptist Church, at one point during my ministry, you know what they decided to do? To change the place of the offering in the service. I tell you that because guess what? We should have taken the offering a wee while ago. But they decided to change the place of the offering in the service, and guess who forgot? And my church treasurer used to come up, and I used to say to her, this is really good for your heart, you know, that we forgot the offering. So how's your heart, John? Where are you, John? How's your heart? How's the heart ticking away? Because we're about to take the offering, John. Ready? We're going to sing as we do it. Alison, come and help me. We're going to sing. You didn't know you were going to sing a duet with me, didn't you? Know? Come on, Alison. They never know. They actually said to me before I come in here, what are you going to do this morning? There is a redeemer. Are you ready? There is a redeemer. We can do that.
Yeah?
Ready?
Well, can't we have it on
the screen? We do not have the offering. Can we play that again, Alan? There is a redeemer.
There is a redeemer again.
Can we do it again? No? Well, come on, Alison, you can actually do it. Ready after two? One, two.
There is a redeemer. Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father. and leaving your spirit till the work on earth is done.
I can't remember saying verse. Thank you. Alison and I will record the CD next week, won't we, Alison? We'll record the CD next week. You're all asking, has the Reverend Robert King always been like that? The lady over in the corner there with a red cardigan will tell you, sometimes even worse. We pray. Thank you for this time of giving. Thank you, Lord, for those who look after the money carefully and wisely. Give them wisdom, we pray. We pray, Father, you take this offering of our money, of our time, and of the talents you've given us, and use all of that, we pray, for your glory. Amen. Today, actually, we start a new series of sermons. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And when I read that, I was strongly tempted to do something. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I thought, that's a sermon over. But what more can I say, really? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I thought to myself, there's really not much more that I can say, is there? Or is there? But there we are. This is a trustworthy saying. There's going to be five or six of these sermons in the next few weeks. And they'll all start off with those words. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Then they change. What's Paul saying when he's saying, this is trustworthy saying? Here he's saying, this is the fundamental truth of the Christian gospel. Here is a clear declaration of what we believe as Christians. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and then he goes on, of whom I am worst. I would be so strong about this text, I would say this. If you do not accept the truth of this verse, there is no way in my opinion that you're a Christian. Now that's strong, isn't it? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. If you don't accept it, I don't see how you can take the label Christian. I just don't understand it. He came to save sinners. It's interesting that 15 times in the gospel, we are told that Jesus was sent, deliberately sent into the world by God the Father. He came on a divine mission. God our Father saw the gulf and experienced the gulf. He saw that men and women were perishing because of sin. Quite a strong and difficult subject, really. The prophet Ezekiel tells us, the soul that sins shall surely die. There's the problem. The soul that sins shall surely die. The Bible teaches us that the wages, and that's the word, that the wages of sin is death. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. What is sin? Well, you know the simple definition that you probably all learned in Sunday school, don't you? S-I-N, and it's the I in the middle, it's a problem. Never been taught that in Sunday school. S-I-N, I in the middle, it's a problem. Sin is going our way, not going God's way. Sin is destructive. You don't need to tell me to tell you that. It destroys us as individuals. It destroys our families. Sin destroys our communities, and sin destroys our countries. Sin is totally, completely, and utterly destructive. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, says Paul. You see, people have chosen their way, not God's way. They want to do what they want, not what God wants. People want to do their own thing, but they don't want to do God's thing. They've chosen the deadly path. People were on the road to destruction, and then God sent Jesus on this divine mission to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. God saw the plight of people out of friendship, fellowship, and closeness with himself. God had mercy on all of us sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Let not just trip it off our tongue, because it's a great truth. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. That's what he came to do. And we shouldn't have been surprised by that. We shouldn't be surprised. Remember? Joseph, the fiancé of Mary, the virgin, he hadn't had any hanky-panky. Nice word, that, by the way. He never had any hanky-panky with Mary before this matter. And he knew that while she was pregnant, he had nothing to do with this. He knew that. And he was ready to give her up, ready to walk away from her, ready for her to face probably death, actually. And the angel came to Joseph and said to Mary, she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why? He shall save his people from their sin. Right before he was born, conceived by the Holy Spirit, he had this in mind. This was God's plan, and God's only plan for salvation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came not to show us the light. No, he is the light. He didn't come to show us the way, no. He is the way. He didn't come to tell us the truth, because he is the truth. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I'm going to repeat this. If you do not accept that simple, basic truth, I can't see how you can use the label Christian to decide to describe yourself. And I want to go further than that. I want to say that if you've not accepted God's way to be saved, you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul says, of whom I am the worst. He was a bad guy. We might call him St. Paul now, but Paul was a bad guy. Listen to what he says in our reading. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. He was a bad guy, do you remember? He was holding the coats. The men were picking up the stones and stoning the first martyr of the Christian church. And you could almost in your imagination hear Paul shouting, get bigger stones! Throw more at him! He was a bad guy, of whom I am the worst. So when Paul says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, he's speaking for a testimony point of view. You see, I want to shock us all this morning. Jesus came not to seek the righteous, or those who pretended to be righteous, but Jesus came to save sinners to repentance. Jesus said that a person who was well didn't need a physician. It's only those who were sick that needed a physician, Jesus said. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to save you, and I thank God with all my heart that he came to save me. And it makes a difference. It makes a difference that you know him and love him and just don't accept the words of the text, but accept the Saviour who came to save you and to stop you from dying. That's the difference. What difference does it make? Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. You see, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David was bone tired of trying to hide his sin. I wonder if you're both tired of pretending that you're all right. I wonder if you're fed up of thinking to yourself, I'll impress them in Holland and Sea Baptist Church with my righteousness and my good works. I'll impress them with the things I do. I was speaking to someone recently in church. I attend St. Michael's Church in Kirby Lesokan, and he came to me and he said to me, I'm one of these types, you know, he said, and I just work away tirelessly. I do all the good things. And I couldn't stop it. I'm sure it was the Lord, because it wasn't Robert. I couldn't stop it. I said, as long as you're not depending on them to get you to God. And that's what I want to say to you this morning. Don't depend on what you're doing or the impression you're making and all your good works, because all your good works are like filthy rags in the sight of God. And what do? We filthy rags. We dispose of them. David was bone tired, and he could say, as he says in Psalm 32, blessed, happy is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him. And you can be that person if you confess your sin and see your need for the Saviour. Once he confessed his sin, once he knew the forgiveness of God, blessed is he whose sins are forgiven, whose sins are covered. That was the experience of David. Stop pretending. Stop playing religious games. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Stop trying to hide our sin. You can be sure, as they say in the old saying, that your sins will find you out. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But why did he do this to Paul? Why does he come to us and save us miserable, filthy, sinful men and women? Why does he do it? Listen to him as he goes on. That Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who believe in him and receive eternal life. Have you ever thought of yourself? Many, many years ago, I won't tell you how many years ago, I was a manager in a big warehouse in Glasgow. And one of the little duties I had was window display. I used to have to erect window displays in the warehouse. There weren't many windows, there was about two big windows in the front foyer of the warehouse where I worked. And I used to display things, and every now and then I would go and change things and do it all over, give another department their chance. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about. Paul is saying that Jesus Christ saved him, a sinner, that he might display his unlimited patience, that he might be an example of those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. So as you go out the church today, you're wearing a big board. Remember the men that used to walk around with the sandwich boards over their fronts and backs? There used to be one in Glasgow that did it. He had the front, "Seek ye the Lord," and "The end is nigh," he had at the back. Sometimes he reversed it. But he was using his display board, and you're a display board. And you have this display board that says, "I love Jesus, I'm converted, I'm a Christian." That's the display board that you're going to be wearing this week. As you go into the shops and into the school or wherever you're going, as you're doing your housework, you're displaying Jesus Christ to people. You're his display board. You and I are the only Bibles that some people are ever going to read. Think about that one. You and I have Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives. We are the display board. Paul could say that he was the worst of sinners. Thanks be to God that he shows his love and mercy in our lives, and that we can display that love and mercy and example to those who would believe, those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. God shows his love and mercy to us so that we in turn might display, might show that love and mercy to other people. Really, I started off down here, didn't I? You've never known a preacher to sit down before, have you? Well, I started off down here. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. I'm glad of that. I hope you are. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that pretending is no good. Pretending that we're good or righteous or holy. We might try and impress other people, but we won't impress you, God, our Father. Thank you that Jesus came to save me and others. Thank you, Lord, that now that we know that forgiveness, we are your display board. We are walking adverts for Jesus Christ. Help us to be so in this week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.